Rave Radio. Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of AV Insider. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Mota. And today I will be speaking with the international sales manager of Symmetrix. But before I have him on the show, as always, I like to thank our sponsors. They like to keep our little lights on here. Up here in this undisclosed location in currently somewhat flooding Northern California. Ingram Micro, they are a distributor, the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-channel supply chain solutions and more. If you head over to ingrammicro.com, you can check out the product offerings they have for you as an integrator in the Pro AV side of things and more. Check them out at ingrammicro.com. As I mentioned, today I have Mark Ulrich. I should have asked you, is it Ulrich or Ulrich?
Really, either one. Ulrich is, you know, how it looks, so that's how we usually say
well,
it.
Well, how do you prefer?
Ulrich.
Ulrich, okay. Mark Ulrich. Yeah. Welcome, Mark. Thank you for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Today, we are talking about, you are the international sales manager of Symmetrix. Can you give me a little tiny overview of Symmetrix as a company and what it is that they offer?
Symmetrix designs and sells DSP, digital signal processing equipment, and this is for various applications and managing audio in a very wide range of venues. Anything from public address systems to sound reinforcement, automatic mic mixing, background music, teleconferencing, and much, much more. Anything that kind of falls in that broad category, we handle very well.
Okay. And they've been around, I'm assuming, for a really long time. It sounds like they offer a lot of products.
Symmetrix has been around since 1976. It was started by Dane Butcher, and he was actually pretty heavily involved in the studio side of things. And oftentimes I tell the anecdote that, you know, you've probably heard of the album Herbie Hancock's Headhunters. I think it's the single best jazz fusion, best-selling jazz fusion album of all time. He was the tracking engineer on that project. And so we have roots, you know, deep in studio, but we quickly migrated from there into a lot of different products, from broadcast to the commercial DSPs that we sell today.
Okay, so very, very heavily towards the pro audio side of things, correct?
Correct. You know, now it's really a company that's focused on commercial fixed installation DSP.
Okay. Now, well, I mean, I'm kind of just going over some of the products here, and it looks like there actually is quite a bit of stuff. Like you mentioned, it's commercial, it's broadcasting, things like that, and a lot, you said, fixed DSPs and such. Yeah, let's see. What I know that you guys have any day now, if it isn't today, as this launches, that you guys have an announcement for a new composer. Is that correct?
Yeah, it'll be Composer 3.0. We've been making our SimNet platform for, gosh, probably since about 2000, 99-2000 is when we first released the SimNet platform of products. And SimNet is our flagship platform that is open architecture. It's scalable, and there are a lot of different building blocks you can use to you know, design a system that's either a single box up to a very, very large system. And the original platform was called Designer, and that went through 10 different major software releases over the course of about 10 years. And then a couple years ago, we announced and released the next generation of that, built on the Composer platform. And so now we're up on our third major release for that Composer platform. And there'll be a lot of exciting things rolled into this new release.
Can we talk about any of the new product release or differences?
Yeah, absolutely. Give you a little sneak preview here. One of the major DSPs that falls within the Composer line is called Radius. And the current Radius is there's actually two. There's a Radius 12x8, simply a 12 in, 8 output unit. And these are Dante scalable, I should add. All of the these products that I'm talking about here under Composer are Dante equipped and Dante scalable. And the Radius has quickly become the best-selling DSP in this product platform. after the original release with the 12x8, we came out with an AEC version that was dedicated towards the conferencing market. And it featured 8 AEC inputs and then a card slot. And we realized, wow, you know, people are really buying this Radius AEC, not only for the AEC, but sometimes just for this card slot that gives you an additional 4 channels of I.O. And the I.O. can be really anything you choose. There's a whole host of option cards that we sell. And so with this card slot, you can kind of have the flexibility to purpose the DSP in any way you want, whether you're adding simply more analog I.O. inputs or outputs, digital I.O., more AEC channels, or even a telephone hybrid card. And so we found that we kind of hit a sweet spot with this Radius AEC in the card slot. And so coming up here any day now, really, will be a new product in, under the Radius line called the Radius 12x8 EX. And this will be a version of the 12x8 simply with adding the card slot, or you could look at it as the Radius AEC minus the AEC. So this should be an exciting release. I think it'll really hit a sweet spot. And again, it gives you the ability to start with a very kind of tried and true form factor of that 12 input, 8 out, and then have that get out of jail free card with the 4 additional channels that you can purpose anyway. So again, we can add more analog, more digital, more AEC, I/O, and really you know, purpose the box any way we want.
And you're saying this is for the extra card slot that you would put that in there, correct?
Correct. Yep. All the option cards are a 4 channel, I guess, with the exception of the telephone hybrid and the new VoIP card, which will also be released with 3.0. So that's another exciting component of the 3.0 release.
And all these things are what's rolled into the new architecture. Is that what you're saying, or the 3.0?
It is.
Or
yeah.
Features of, I should say.
Correct. Yeah, there's a whole host, you know, from the new Radius DSP to the new 2-line VoIP card that's coming out. You know, we started to really come strongly into the conferencing market here in the last couple years. And this whole next generation of SIMnet products has really allowed us to do that with, you know, dedicated AEC processing and just an incredible backbone of microphone management behind it. And so with that, we're rounding out that conferencing offering with accessories like the telephone hybrid card and now the VoIP card, which we think will be a very important component to the conferencing side of things.
And it's as simple as interchanging into the slot that's available by using voice over internet card or the other one you're saying?
Yeah, it is indeed. It's you know, just a simple installation. You can field swap the cards, and again, you can purpose that DSP any way you want, depending on what card you've got installed.
Now, you said that it's an open architecture that's Dante scalable. Can you touch on? I'm not familiar with what Dante is. Can you elaborate on what that means?
Yeah, absolutely. Dante is an industry standard. It is a third-party solution that we license along with, probably another 120 to 150 other manufacturers.
So everybody.
In our industry. Yeah, pretty much everybody. And it's taken off relatively quickly. You know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when we started to develop this next generation of products, and we were trying to decide to go between Dante and another platform called AVB. You know, I had never heard the word Dante before. And so there was a lot of insight, I guess, that our product managers had into the power of Dante. And they kind of saw where the industry was going to be headed. And so Dante really gives manufacturers the ability to communicate with the rest of the industry and truly integrate in a seamless fashion. Now, Dante is, like I said, technology that we license along with everyone else. It's developed by a company called Audinate, based out of Australia. Yeah. And they've just done fantastic things in the last couple years. But in essence, Dante is audio over Ethernet. It's really that simple. You can also kind of think of it as the next generation generation of Kubernetes.
Okay.
If you're familiar with that at all. You know, Kubernetes has been used for a number of years. The guys who developed Kubernetes were really pioneers in bringing audio over Ethernet networks. And Dante brings it to the next level by allowing the seamless connection and integration on a standard network. So if you have an existing IP infrastructure and you have standard Ethernet hardware, you can now network audio between devices, between Symmetrix devices, or between, you know, a myriad of other devices in our industry. So it's really kind of leveled the playing field for everybody, and really makes the integrator's job a lot easier, along with the manufacturers too, because everyone can sing out of the same hymnal, if you will.
I got you. So what you're saying though, but like with Dante, that's pretty much the main standard now.
It is the main standard. There are some others. There was certainly a lot of interest and debate in the Dante versus AVB thing. You know, it's a rich discussion. They're not mutually exclusive. They are based around very similar standards. But, you know, I think it comes down to the fact that Audinate, this Australian company, has found a way to deliver a solution to manufacturers like Symmetrix that's ready to go. AVB does have some very nice advantages in terms of clock synchronization and resource reservation and other things, but it's incumbent on the manufacturer to deploy the technology. And so what happens is, even though you've got a set of underlying standards through AVB, you have companies that are kind of implementing their own version of AVB. And we're still very much in a fledgling stage as far as the compliance testing, although that testing is underway now at the University of New Hampshire. But it's very slow to evolve because you kind of have to get a critical mass of industry players behind it to develop a common technology. Whereas the folks at Audinate have kind of done all that for us and given us a tried and true technology that's easily integrated into your product platform that you simply license, and that's kind of been the key for manufacturers like Symmetrix. They have a product that they know will work, will communicate with the rest of the industry. Anybody else is using Dante, so they've really added a lot of value to that interoperability. That's always always a challenge in this industry.
Can you touch on why Symmetrix, at the time when the choice was presented, they went to Dante versus AVB? I mean, like you said, a lot of the people internally at the company were, you know, were knowledgeable on what was going on with Dante, or at the, you know, it was new-ish, and we went that route. Why exactly, you know, what, you know, I mean, it's kind of like a debate, like with standards, you know, with certain things, what going run or the other. Some people strongly prefer one over the other, and at the time, there's just the split. Was there any specific reason at the time they went to Dante? Was it just because that seemed like to be the more open standard for this type of protocol?
Yeah. Again, you know, I think there was there's a lot of discussion, debate. You know, one of our competitors, BiAmp, went the AVB route, and I can certainly see the logic in doing that. And both of the standards were pretty early on at that point, so it could have been a coin toss, really. But again, I think with our product managers, they saw the value in having the third party development behind it, and a technology that was something that we could simply license and that other manufacturers would license as well. You know, a finished technology that we know will work with anything else that has that Dante brand on it. And AVB is still developing, and we're seeing new products come out. We're seeing switches come out that are AVB enabled, but they're still kind of rare. They're relatively expensive, and so as a platform as a whole, I think that AVB still has some challenges. Who knows? I think it'll still continue to evolve, but the industry has made a clear choice with Dante, and kudos to our product managers for seeing that trend and deploying it when they did.
Yeah, definitely. Especially like I said, knowing at the time, like, well, this is going to be the industry standard, and versus when some people say, no, we strongly prefer the other.
Right.
Now, going back to your DSPs, these are like rack mountable DSPs, I would assume, for a pro auto industry. That seems to be the case on most things.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's your standard 19-inch. I think they're all single rack space. Yeah, there's some various form factors. They basically fit into three different categories. We have the next generation SIMnet, which is the Radius unit we talked about a little earlier. Okay. There's also the Edge Frame, which also runs on Composer. This is a modular approach, so it's purely a card slot based frame.
Right.
Same capabilities as far as Dante goes and the scalability, but here in this instance, you don't have any fixed I/O. Everything is modular, so you have 16 channels between four card slots. You can really build the I/O any way you like. And so those are the open architecture scalable products. I should also mention that there are, of course, some expansion products. So if you need to just simply add more inputs, more outputs, there's a 12-input expander called the XN12, and then you've got a 12-output expander called the XOut12. Then there's an expander for some for GPIO, and then a host of wall panel remotes, and that kind of those are the basic Legos in that SIMnet platform.
And they're all, you know, interchangeable, hot swappable in the field. None of them are simply dedicated to being an AEC input card. They can just be whatever the integrator, whoever installing, needs it to be.
Correct. You can, again, we give you this big bag of Legos, and you can really put it together and purpose it any way you want. You touched on something with the AEC that that bears mentioning. With the AEC products, for example, the Radius AEC or even just a AEC option card, that I/O can be internally routed, meaning that you're not necessarily tied to the physical inputs on that AEC card. So, the example I like to use is if you've got a small office building with a number of different conference rooms. With Dante, you're finding integrators are centralizing their resources a little bit more, and they're starting to put the audio infrastructure in with the IT infrastructure, in a centralized rack location.
Right.
And so oftentimes the example I use is you'll have your conference rooms just equipped with the Dante input expanders. So you bring all the audio simply onto the network. And this, again, is just a very standard IT network, existing networks. And you can just bring that all onto the network and then drop it into your central rack room. And then from there, you can do any internal routing for the conference rooms that you need. So for example, if you've got 8 channels total of AEC, you can fire a preset and determine which conference room gets routed to that AEC input. So even though you've got 8 channels physically inputted on that unit or on that card, internally you can bring things in on Dante and say, today we're gonna purpose conference room number 2 for the AEC, and now you can freely route all that audio to those cards.
But again, like you said, like if they ever need. And it sounds like you're saying, take a step back. Where you would just use one of those expanders, basically, because it's just the frame saying, use however you want. Like you said, put 8, four or eight AEC cards in there, and then all that lives there on the rack because everything usually is centralized. And like you said, purpose that in Dante and say, today it's this conference room 3.
Yeah, for sure. Once you've got your I/O determined, you wouldn't usually hot swap a card. The end user wouldn't typically do that. But with the Edge Frame and even with the Radius AEC and the new Radius 12x8 EX with that option card slot, again, you can really build the frames any way you want and purpose the boxes any way you want.
I see. I'm sure it's not as easy as it's sounding, but it does sound like it's a very open platform to it where I can just say, okay, here's my frame, here's what I need, here's my cards, pop them in and wire it up and I'm ready to go. Obviously, it takes a little longer than that, but in terms of being, non-dedicated, I think is like the biggest thing that I see like as a huge positive for the industry, just because typically, this is dedicated. You have a couple slots for expansions, but to be able to take just an expander and put whatever you want, or the other ones that are just non-dedicated as well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's certainly a place for both. And I should mention, you know, we really have the full line. So all the way from just a standalone application-specific DSP, all the way up to the edge and radius units that we're talking about that are fully open architecture and fully scalable. So, you know, I interact with clients sometimes when they say, you know, why would I buy a standalone dedicated processor when I can get your open architecture and build everything myself? And then I'll talk to someone else and say, why would I build it all myself when you can give me a fixed architecture solution that's application specific? So everybody has their own preferences and really, you know, every integrator has their own knowledge base and capabilities as far as the programming goes. So we try to offer a really wide range of solutions so that they can pick and choose what's best for them.
Right. Now, what about user interfaces? What type of interfaces are there that from Symmetrix, or do you guys even have an interface aside from the programming?
We do have an interface. There's a host of wall panel interfaces, from one that's highly programmable where you can nest menus and program volumes, presets, mutes, and something that's fairly open architecture with a display readout, all the way to more simplified control, you know, just a four push button mm-hmm. where you just have mutes and buttons and whatnot, presets, of course. And then, rotary encoder, obviously very simple, just a 10K pot. So some of your very kind of standardized wall panel controllers. And then from there, we can take it into a interface called the Arc Web. Within each of these DSPs, there is a web server. And this web server will host an app. It's basically a web app that is a control option for anybody that's got a smartphone or tablet or a web browser. And each of these units is IP-based, as we've talked about, and simply has an IP address. So if we take a radius unit, put it onto your network, you can enable DHCP so that the network gives it an IP address. Once it's got that IP address, typically the integrator will also have a wireless router integrated in the system. And at that point, you can, with your smartphone or, again, any mobile device or anything that basically runs a web browser, log into that wireless network, type in the IP address of the unit, and that will launch, again, what's called the Arc Web. And the Arc Web gives you essentially a free interface that allows you to, you know, control the system with presets, mutes, faders, and you can secure it and have four different levels of password security on it. And it is free, and it's just hosted by the DSP itself. So that's a really nice way to get very simplified yet powerful and flexible end-user control. Again, that's called the Arc Web. If you kick it up another notch from there, we have a system called SimView. And just like we have open architecture products and fixed architecture products, the SimView control solution is a open architecture control platform. And so essentially what you do is, as the programmer is going through the system and building the architecture, you can pull elements from that architecture. You could say, well, I want this fader, I want this preset, I want these meters, let's go ahead and grab this matrix mixer or this auto mixer, let's throw it onto a control screen, let's size it the way I want. Let's set up a couple different screens, maybe one for the lobby, one for the dining room. Let's do one for the patio. And you can place whatever controls on the screen you want. You can create navigation between these pages. And then you simply export it as a standalone control file. And this gives the end user the capability to run a very customized control solution on any device that runs a Windows embedded operating system or higher. And it allows the integrator to hide all the underlying programming. So it's a very lightweight controller skin that is built from and customized from elements in your programming. And it's a free solution. It's just simply part of the Composer platform. And that really gives you an incredible amount of flexibility and customization to the control systems.
Free. You don't want to charge $100 like other people do for something like that.
Well, we can let our integrators do that.
No, that is awesome. Well, I'm sorry, as I like to say, double awesome. That's very, very unique. I like that, the idea of being able to create that tool for the end user, basically. Here you go, here's your control, lightweight skin, run it, and here's your control system, essentially.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's multi-points. You could have multiple computers simultaneously running it. Each computer can have 8 instances of SimView running as well. And maybe we'll touch on it later, but this was a big component of the Sports Hub project that was just commissioned in Singapore. If the listeners don't know, it was a $1.6 billion project. It's a 55,000-seat stadium.
That's all.
And SimView, yeah, you know. And SimView was deployed throughout this as a control system, so it's very powerful and something that's featured prominently with the Composer platform.
We should talk on that just one second after I thank my sponsor one more time. As always, Ingram Micro. They are the world's largest technology distributor, delivering flexible multi-supply chain solutions and more. If you head over to ingrammicro.com, you can check out what they have to offer for you as an integrator, and let them know I said hi. Because that's what I do on the show. I say hi to people. No, let's talk a little bit more about the deployment of this. So, yeah, what did you say? How large was this again?
Well, let's see. The Sports Hub itself is a 55,000-seat national stadium.
Okay.
And so I'm guessing it was the largest construction project in Asia. And it was recently commissioned and uses, I believe, 85 SimNet edge frames. So again, these are the ones with the modular I/O. The system was designed and built by E&E, Electronics and Engineering. And they actually did the original install for, I believe, the original hub in, 1970-something. So they've been around many, many years. And it was just a fantastic effort on their behalf, on our engineering team, and also some other manufacturers that we were working with, namely PowerSoft, as there was an integration between our software and their amps for a custom solution for amp monitoring. So, just a fantastic project of epic proportion.
E&E, repeat their name one more time.
Yeah, Electronics and Engineering.
That sounds vaguely familiar, but I'm not sure quite why. But that does sound like a large, large application. And this is currently up and running now?
It is. Yeah, it was commissioned, I believe, in June or July, I want to say.
And, I'm wondering. Now, repeat the deployment. There are 65 of these edge frames?
Yeah, actually 85. Of these edge frames. And so the whole network was, of course, built around Dante for obvious reasons. And they also brought in and integrated, you know, other Dante-equipped manufacturers like Allen and Heath. E&E deployed EAW. They deployed community loudspeakers. And so as far as the networking goes, the whole backbone is, again, just a standard Ethernet network. And each edge frame then has the ability to transmit 64 channels on and bring 64 channels off of this network. So you have these edge frames, you know, placed around the facility, and everything being networked together via Dante. So it's definitely a fantastic testament to the power of Dante and Symmetrix, as well as a handful of other manufacturers.
I want to know who gets the phone call if anything ever goes wrong on something like that. I would assume E&E, right?
Yeah, they'll get the first phone call. maybe I'll get the third or fourth phone call.
Do you ever get any tech related phone calls?
I do. I've been with Symmetrix about 10 years, and I have worn a lot of different hats. But I think part of my tenure there has been kind of going back and forth between technical positions and sales positions. And I always try to bring a lot of value into the sales position by having the technical background and being able to support and troubleshoot and kind of talk bits and bytes with people. Part of my role as international sales manager is certainly interfacing with engineering teams, people who are doing pre-sales or post-sales support. Definitely part of my role.
I would say that's probably a really good trait to have as the international sales manager, to be able to talk technically like you are today and answer questions when needed to be, and if need technical stuff for support, even though it's not necessarily your job.
Yeah, it's another tool. I've certainly found that you can bring a lot of value if you've got the right answer. I mean, it's one thing to just maintain the relationships, which needs to be done, but you always have to add value along the way. And I always find great value in being able to get down and sketch out a design with someone, being able to troubleshoot something on the fly.
Right.
And we work in a technical field, and so always try to keep those chops up.
Where is Symmetrix based out of or located?
Yes, Symmetrix is based out of Seattle.
Oh, nice little place there. I mean, yeah, not a bad place to be.
Yeah, there's an incredible, there's an incredible pool of talent as far as audio goes in Seattle. I think it's all the musicians who didn't end up becoming the next Pearl Jam, and they figured out they got to get a real job at some point. And so you kind of got this industry of failed rock stars up there in Seattle. But yeah, there's a fantastic pool of talent there. You know, we're up there. Loud Technologies is there. Rain is there.
Nice.
Biamp is just a few hours south down in Beaverton. So yeah, a lot of talent up here in the Northwest as far as audio goes.
Yeah. I mean, you already mentioned one really large application, but are there any, I almost want to say, like, unique applications where Symmetrix has been deployed that you can talk of, or?
Gosh, some of the usual suspects I like to throw out kind of when getting someone acquainted with Symmetrix. You know, for example, we're installed in I believe most of the Nordstrom stores in the U.S. Yeah. And it's always a nice way to kind of paint the picture. You know, you go into the to the men's department, and they're playing Yanni or something, mm-hmm. and then you head over into the tween section. They got Green Day going, and then a page comes on, so the music ducks down. And then when the page is over, it comes back up, maybe at 9 p.m. when the store closes, a preset triggers, and then it activates an iPod input. So when the cleaning crew comes in, they can listen to their own music. So it's kind of a way that sometimes I'll paint the picture as to what our products do. But, installs that I always like to reference, like we're in the Canadian Parliament, for example. We have installations at Facebook, at Google.
Who's that? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you may have heard of
them.
Yeah, it's a little startup down there in California.
Yeah, they've been on the show.
Yeah, nice. So really it's a very broad range, but you kind of break it down from one application to another from there. But really when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of it, you're routing and you're processing audio, meaning you're getting it from point A to point B and you're making it sound fantastic along the way.
That was a great picture painted in my head just now. And hopefully everyone who didn't already know more than we just learned, learned some stuff, because I did. Thank you for your time on that. Let me ask you this. Is Symmetrix a direct to dealer or through distribution, or is there a little bit of both? How is Symmetrix deployed in the field, though? Do you have direct dealers, or how does that work?
In the U.S., we go out directly to a network of audio dealers, audio integrators. Mm-hmm. In a few instances, we sell some broadcast equipment through some distributors or kind of big broadcast dealers, if you will. But for the most part, we sell direct to audio integrators, AV integrators in the U.S. And then internationally, we sell through a network of about 75 distributors. There are a few instances where we go direct to dealer, but for the most part, we go exclusive to one company. So if we're selling to Germany, we sell straight to Trias as our distributor there.
Okay.
And then they handle the support, they handle the marketing and the trade shows, and they really represent us. They're kind of our proxy for that country. And so that's the model that we use for the majority of our international sales, is selling to one partner exclusively. And we support them with everything they need as far as the marketing, the warranty, the service, and just equipping them with the tools they need to be the distributor for that country exclusively.
And as terms of shows, if I as an integrator wanted to come see you guys at the booth, would I go see you at like Infocom, ISC, GovCom, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Infocom is probably our biggest show of the year. You know, ping pong's between Las Vegas and Orlando. Mm-hmm. We exhibit there. Always try to have a very strong presence there. And then internationally, definitely our biggest show is ISC in Amsterdam. That's coming up here at the beginning of February.
You wouldn't happen to know booth number off the top of your head, would you?
Let's see. It is...
Oh, wow. That never, ever worked before.
I believe it is 3C128.
3C128.
Yeah, I'll have to double check, but I'm pretty sure that's it.
If you all go to ISC this year, go to 3C128, and if Mark isn't there, sorry.
To my chagrin, it'll end up being the Biamp booth. but no, we'll be exhibiting with our partner there, MK Roos, a fantastic partner. They've been with us since the early 80s. And so we have a nice footprint there at their booth. And they give us a really strong presence at ISE every year.
Do you guys do any trainings for your dealers or any of that kind of stuff for people that want to learn more before becoming a dealer?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we're right on the heels of a 2-day advanced technical training that we are hosting in Seattle, actually next week, December 10th and 11th. And so we're bringing in people from all over the world. We'll have a huge contingent of U.S. integrators. We'll also have folks coming in internationally from Germany, from Korea, from Switzerland, from Indonesia. So this will be an intensive 2-day course, again in Seattle next week, December 10th and 11th. And so I believe there's still room if anybody wants to get in on that. Just visit symmetrics.co and you can find more information about that. But we'll be covering the full range of products and be going into some advanced programming and application specific programming as well. So that'll give people not only kind of a 101 baseline, but an opportunity to dig a little bit deeper with the programming and with applications.
Very, very cool. I like that kind of stuff. One more time, can you repeat those dates? December 10th and 12th?
Yeah, that'll be December 10th and 11th, next Wednesday and Thursday, and that'll be in Seattle. Actually, be just north of Seattle in Linwood. But again, you can get more information at the website, symmetrics.co.
Symmetrics.co, everybody, is the website. If anyone has any more questions, maybe directly for you or inquiring how to become a Symmetrics dealer, what is the best method for them to try, or to who should they reach out to?
Yeah, pretty much all the information you need can be found at our website. The best way to get a hold of the company in general and for us to kind of internally direct traffic is simply sales@symmetrics.co. And from there, we can get someone in contact with their regional sales manager. We work through a network of sales representatives in the U.S. I believe there are 16. So depending on where you're located, you've got local support through an independent sales representative. We also have our regional sales manager for the West Coast, Mr. Tim Murray, and our East Coast regional sales manager, Mr. Jim Latimer. So there's a whole network of support. As far as the international side of things goes, again, sales@symmetrics.co will copy me as well, and I can respond directly if there's any inquiries from beyond the U.S.
And then lastly, that covers, unless you have like anything else that is of time orient that will be launching in the next few days. I think we covered the new software, and that was pretty much it. That's any day now, correct?
Yeah, that'll be Composer 3.0 will be launching any day. I should also mention that with this release, we are adding support for a couple really exciting microphones that are now Dante equipped.
Okay.
Firstly, there's the Audio-Technica. It's the ATDN-971. And this is a Boundary microphone, and I believe it's the first Boundary microphone to be equipped with Dante. And so the exciting part of this is that it's kind of pre-integrated into the Composer software. And just as you would, you know, connect one, say, radius unit to another, everything can be done within the Composer software. What our engineers are doing now is they're adding third-party support for other key manufacturers that are very likely going to be, you know, part of a solution that an integrator is putting together. So we previously did this with Aterotech and with Stewart Audio, and essentially brought their products into our Composer platform, so you can make that integration via Dante seamless. So, you know, you've kind of got your programming platform, you drag a radius unit on, you drag an edge unit on, and then you bring in an Aterotech device or Stewart Audio amp, and it automatically makes all those connections via Dante. So we're now adding that exact same support for the Audio-Technica Boundary microphone, as well as the Shure Microflex wireless system. It's the MXWAP T4 and the T8. And so this is a really powerful thing for us, because I'm starting to see, and I think the industry is starting to see, a lot of solutions being driven by the endpoints. And when the endpoints are becoming more and more Dante accessible, that is really driving people back to arguably the most powerful Dante DSP, which is the Symmetrix platform. So we're now kind of embracing that trend. We're bringing these endpoints just directly into our Composer software, so that Dante integration is truly seamless. And so at the time of this recording, there's the Aterotech integration, Stewart Audio, and with the Composer 3.0 release will be Audio-Technica and another company you may have heard of called Shure.
Yeah, they are also on the show. Everybody, that was another AV Insider first. Three things that I greatly appreciate you sharing with us. Hopefully, this will be on the exact same day this happens. If you guys are social like myself, you already know that you can go over to Symmetrix.co. That's Symmetrix.co, Symmetrix.co. And you can inquire all these parts. You can contact people should you be interested in becoming a dealer, or how to reach out and learn more. The stuff in Seattle, the 10th and 11th, we just mentioned, you can check that out. There's still room, I'm told. And for the other social sites, you can find Symmetrix on Facebook. You just go to facebook.com/SymmetrixINC. They're also on LinkedIn. You can find them on Twitter at Symmetrix_INC. And I'm probably sure there's a few more out there, but I'm pretty sure that's a good start. If we haven't overloaded with too much information, come back for the next episode. And that being said, Mark, I'd love to have you back on the show in the future, maybe when Composer 4 comes out.
Absolutely. Love to.
Yeah, thank you for your time. Once this is all up and running, I'll make sure to reach out to you guys and promote a bit more. And I'd like to know how the trainings go. I like learning about new products and supporting the companies on the show.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for your support. Thanks for having us. And I'd love to come back if you'll have us.
Yeah. Thanks again, everyone. This has been an episode of AV Insider with Mark Ulrich of Symmetrix. We'll catch you on the next episode.